began with the aspect of looking at and understanding the Trinity as best we can in order to understand and see God. Today's time is to help you to be able to know God. We started out in Trinity 101 with the very basics, and it's pretty basic, and it is this. There is one God, the Trinity consists of three persons, and then each person of the Trinity is God. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We jumped up to Trinity 201, which is power and perspective, last week, because how we see God, it enables us to be able to understand even how we pray. And you're going to find today even how you worship or even why you're here. That's a question last week and that Troy asked us and during the worship time. Why are you here? What's the purpose of why you're here? We looked at the nature of God, that God is one, but economically they have three roles as three persons. The relationship, the will of the Father is important, and that is actually going to lead us into a new series coming up next week. And then I want to begin today with just a little bit of reminders from 201 as we begin 301, and here it is. A little refresher, and that is God the Father is the source or cause of all things. I know I drew this last week, and you have it a little bit smaller print on the bottom of your page today, but I do want to draw the picture that we've been utilizing in order to understand the Trinity and who God is and how it works. And hopefully this pen is going to at least make it through. Barely. So we'll go to this one. And as we have begun to look at this, we recognize that there definitely is a Godhead that's made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, we have looked at, through scriptures last week and even the week before, these are not co-equal. Now, that has been taught for centuries, but we know that isn't true, and you're going to see it today in a huge way. And so I'm going to draw this a little different today than you've seen it before, and maybe helping us to be able to understand. And so what you have is you have right here God the Father. And then over here you have God the Son. And then the Holy Spirit. Now if you notice, a little bit larger space, huh? A little bit smaller. A lot smaller. And the reasoning for that is because there is a leader in the Godhead. And so as you look at how all this connects together between God the Father and the Spirit of God and then the Son of God, you recognize, and God in the middle here, you recognize that there is a lot more space up here where Father is because he is actually the head of the Godhead. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but we do find the Trinity. There is no question. Jesus told us that when we go out and share the gospel, we baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We also know that we looked at the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes from God the Father, just like Christ comes from God the Father. Christ says, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. And so as we begin today, I want you to just see that picture a little bit differently as we look at God the Father as the source or cause of all things. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:6, yet for us there is but one God, the Father. Now, there is the Godhead, correct? So in nature, they are connected right here. But in their power and in who they are and in what they do, there is a difference of not only strength and size, but also servitude, as you'll see here in a minute. It goes on and it says this, from whom all things came. You have to get this. Everything you have comes from God. everything. Think about this for a minute. So you have the Son, or Jesus, right? What is the biggest thing that Jesus did for us? He died on the cross, right? And that's our whole connectivity to God, right? But actually, who sent Jesus? God the Father, correct? So God the Father sent Jesus, his Son, to die for us. And when we accept him as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within our life. Continuing in the verse there in 1 Corinthians 8:6, it says this, "And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live." Now, there's two words in here in this verse that you've got to don't miss at all. You see, the very beginning, it says this, "Yet for us there is but one God the Father, from whom," okay? So this is the from. God the Father is from. From whom? That goes with the aspect of the source of all things or the cause of all things. And then you have through whom? Jesus Christ. Through whom these things come. Let's go to the next one. Jesus is the agent and the source of the source or cause. The Bible says this in John 14:10, and this is super important, and this is where you're going to see why God has been given more space in this triangle than Jesus has. And it says this, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." You get that? Did Jesus heal people? Yeah, he did, didn't he? He did. He healed people. Where did that power come from? God the Father. You see, when Jesus calls you to do an unbelievable life, whatever it is that he calls you to do, the power comes from God the Father. That's the way that the God has designed. But it is through Jesus that we, and I'm going to put we right down here because this is little old we, but it's through Jesus that we have a relationship with the Father. It's because of Jesus. He's the agent of salvation. And the power comes from God the Father. Let's go on as we finish the refresher. The Holy Spirit is the means. So you have the source or the cause. In other words, this is the purpose. This is everything. And then you have the agent, the individual that actually in the Godhead, these things come through. And then you have the means or the way that those things happen. The Bible says this, I'm just going to give you one verse, which is John 15:26, because we looked at John 16 last week. "When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father." So who does the Holy Spirit come from? Who sends him? Jesus. So basically, the Holy Spirit comes from Jesus. And as a matter of fact, John was going out the door, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, and we're talking about this over and over again in the scriptures that you see, that the Holy Spirit comes from the essence of who God is. But there is a scripture, matter of fact, a couple of them that talk about the Spirit of Christ. It's the same Spirit. You see, both of these individuals in the Godhead sent the Spirit to us. Jesus said, I can't send... the Spirit until I'm gone. But when I do leave, then my Father will send you a comforter. And that comes through Christ to us. We go on, the scripture says this as we continue to read. The Spirit of Truth. Now this is an important phrase, Spirit of Truth. What do you think that means? What is the truth? The truth is God the Father, because everything comes from God the Father. So anything that is true comes from God the Father. It comes from God the Father through Christ by the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father. He will testify about me. As a matter of fact, so Jesus is saying, my dad is going to send you the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of my dad, the truth. You get that? And all the power, whether it be power used by the Holy Spirit or whether it be power that Jesus uses, comes from the Father. And the Spirit comes from the Father and the Son, and the source of all things is God himself in heaven. So let's go on. Let's test this just briefly. Let's look at salvation. Where did our salvation come from? Jesus. No. Who did it come from? Came from God the Father, right? Let me give you a verse. You all know it. For God so loved the world. Right? What did he do? He gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him through the working of the Holy Spirit, right? Whoever believes in him, you realize that God gives you belief. You realize when it comes to the spiritual things of who God is, do you realize that if you have faith, it's not your faith? It's God's faith. You see, because we place our faith in God, right? And it's God's faith. Once again, all things come to me from God, whether it's a tangible thing or whether it's a spiritual thing. There's nothing about me that is God before I come to God. And then after I come to God and Christ forgives me of my sins and the Spirit of God lives in my life, then what takes place is now I have a relationship with God the Father. And so here's what happens, man. He just rains down grace on me. I don't know I'm sure you have, but Todd Agnew, he has a great song, Grace Like Rain. You know what God does to us all the time? He pours down grace like rain on you. And his desire is for you to move with understanding through your life as you live through Jesus by the Spirit to do God's calling. Which, by the way, is to lead other people to God by Jesus. So you share your faith. But it isn't about Jesus, it's about God. It's about God. The Bible says you are a child. A child of who? Not a child of Jesus. You're a child of God. As a matter of fact, when men fell, even before time began and God knew that it was going to happen, he made a covenant with Jesus that Jesus would die on the cross so that God the Father can buy back his children. And it's through Jesus that we are bought back. And so we have understanding that God is what? Love, right? And that love is expressed in many ways. And the biggest way was through the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. So let's look at number one. Number one, here it is. Jesus is, and this is a big word, subservient. Subservient to God the Father. We know several things. We know that the Godhead is not equal. We just know that. And the Holy Spirit actually is less than the Son, and definitely less than the Father, as far as if we want to put it on paper. And recognizing that the Spirit came from God the Father in Christ, and Christ is in God and God in the Father. But we have to realize that Jesus is subservient to God the Father. Look at John 14:28. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father. For the Father is what? Greater than I. There's something that's been taught about the Trinity, and it's a word I'm going to put right down here. It's called co-equal. The Trinity is not three co-equal persons. They're not three equal persons. Jesus said it right here. Jesus says, the Father is greater than I am. I am in the Father. but the Father is greater than I am. As a matter of fact, if you go to the night before Jesus went to the cross, he spent time with his disciples in the upper room, and one of the things that they did, and this is an amazing thing as we get into worship and singing worship, Jesus with his disciples sang hymns to God. Jesus worshiped God with his disciples through music. That in itself would tell you that they are not co-equal, but Jesus just came right out in John chapter 14 and he said, this is the way it is. My Father is greater than me. Number two, we pray to the Father through Jesus in the Spirit. Matthew 6:19 is, of course, the Lord's Prayer, but I want to read 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask for. Now, there's a big word in there. What's that big word? The big word is will, right? You see, in prayer, this is where we're going to jump off into a new series when we look up worship and will, based on the Trinity and what the Scripture says concerning it. God just doesn't give us everything we pray for, right? Like, can we all at least agree on that? I mean, it would be great if he did, but we would be messed up. Because we would have stuff we didn't need. So he doesn't give us everything we ask for, whether that be in a tangible way of stuff or whether that be in healing. It just doesn't happen all the time. And so the goal is, as the Scripture says here, is that we should be figuring out how to pray the Father's will. Because if we pray the Father's will, guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We pray in the name of Jesus. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, in the Spirit. But the tricky thing is this. How do you pray God's will? We'll look at that in a week or two. Number three. Everything comes from the Father and is given back as worship. This goes back to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. This is the New Living Translation. Here's what it says. But who am I? And this is David. And who are my people? That we could give anything to you. Everything we have comes from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. So the question is, then why is this important? Why did we take 3 weeks in helping to understand how all this works? The understanding of the fact that the Trinity is three separate people and one in nature, but in what they do, three different roles. The fact that they are not co-equal, but there is no question, God the Father is in control. Jesus himself even says that more than one way, just not by saying he's greater than me, but he said over and over again, I've come to do the will of my Father. Everything in life comes from God the Father. Everything. Now let me tell you, around our house, it's a little different, especially when it comes to the Word. We'll get on a topic. And this happened last night. Mitzi and I are on the couch. Clay's playing a game until stuff starts rolling, so he comes over to the couch. But we were looking for a video to play today. And Mitzi had gone online. There's a place that produces just thousands of videos. And you buy them, like this one right here, in order to use as edification for the body and understanding and encouragement. And there was a video that is about worship. And it said basically over and over again, it's not about me, which it's not about me, but it is about Jesus. It's about what Jesus did for us. And it got to the very end. At the very end, there's this one little snippet that said, this today This worship is about Jesus. And I started to go, whoa, wait a minute. I don't think that's right. And here's what you have to know, man. We're a long way in the church, aren't we? Over 2,000 years. And stuff sneaks in subtly in the church. It's like the aspect of some people overemphasizing the Holy Spirit, and they'll today even praying to the Spirit. You could talk to the Spirit. You better talk to Jesus, but you pray to God the Father. Jesus even said that, right? And the Lord's Prayer, pray this way, the model of prayer. And so what can happen is little stuff sneaks into the church. And so we pray in the name of Jesus. Am I correct? That's what we're told to do. And there is power in the name of Jesus. And if you don't have anything else to say, just say Jesus. And man, if you have to, say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But worship isn't all about Jesus. Why? Because worship is about God the Father. Let me ask you this. Can Jesus exist without God the Father? Mm-mm. Could God the Father exist without Jesus? Okay? So we're on the couch, and I'm looking at this, and I go online, and now we're in the fight. I'm going to say that in a very loving way, because we're fighting with Scripture. As she... and it is a good video. I mean, it's a good video. But she's going, that can't be right, man. It's Jesus. We pray to Jesus. And don't get me wrong. You can look in the Scripture 9 or 10 times. People worship Jesus. And we can worship Jesus. But it's not all about Jesus. It's about God. That's just like right over here, everything that happens through the gifts, whether it be God moving you or speaking to you or giving you guidance and comfort, or maybe even in His timing, giving you the ability to supernaturally, through your prayer and praying the will of God, see somebody healed. You know what? That does not happen through the Holy Spirit. I mean, because of the Holy Spirit. That happens because of God. Through the Holy Spirit, because of Christ and our connectivity to God. It all goes back to God. And so we're going through Scriptures, and I can tell you this. I looked up every time where it talks about singing in the Bible. And who do we sing to? You know who we sing to? Not one time do we ever sing to Jesus. Just like not one time we never pray to Jesus. We sing to God the Father. Now, is Jesus in God? Yes. Is God in Jesus? Yes, that scripture's there. Can we sing to Jesus? Yeah, because that's a form of worship for us. That's okay. But the bottom line is this. Don't make this bigger than this. Because you can't. It's just like if we make this, the Holy Spirit, bigger than Jesus or God. Because God is the source and cause of all things. And everything He has given you, He has given to you so that you can give it back in worship. Everything. Even your singing. Man, I know some of you are going to hate at least one of these weekends coming up. Because we're going to talk about singing. A lot of guys don't like to sing. I get it. I mean, you come in here and it's like, I don't have a good voice. Man, if I start singing, people will leave. I don't know. Am I supposed to sing? Do you realize that, you know what God says to you? You are commanded to sing praises to Him. You're going to find out why. And find out why. And now, when you find out why, this is the hard part. Because all of a sudden, we go, oh, wait a minute. God tells me that I'm supposed to sing praises to him just like Jesus did with the disciples the night before his crucifixion? Yeah. So you better go home and practice. But the reality is it's not about how you sound. It's about your heart. And this verbal worship is commanded by God, that we sing his praises. You know why? Because God first loved us. So when we come in here to worship, I don't care if it is the time, this fellowship time that we have before last week, there are probably 50, 60 people more here last week. And man, when you guys started talking and mingling and stuff, it was loud. That is worship. When you sit and when you listen to the word, like right now, you are worshiping in what's called the word, worshiping in the word. When you sing, you're worshiping. When you encourage one another, you are worshiping. Do you realize that as you drove here today without you knowing it, you were performing an act of worship? And here's the other thing that you've got to know, and we're going to cover this. Worship is not about emotion, making you feel good or having a feeling. Or now that will come out of it. If you start singing a song and that song just impacts you, then you know what? Emotionally, you're going to be changed. But worship is a choice. I choose to worship God. And in the midst of doing that, you know what? I will become emotional because God loves me. And here's an amazing thing about singing worship. God loves us so much, so we come here on the weekend, and one of the things we do is we sing praises to God. We lift him up. As a matter of fact, some of the songs you're going to find out, we sing for each other. Just not to God, but we sing actually for each other. But we come here to worship who? God. Now, you may sing a song about Jesus, right? Or you might even ask the Father to send his Holy Spirit down upon you, right? But it all goes back to God the Father. So understand this. You are here for one of the most reverent things in our world and in the next. And that is this. Worship of God. Worship of God. Because he loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you on the cross. He gave everything that was needed for you to be bought back to him, for your chains to be broken, for you to be set free. So your drive in today was an act of worship, so you can be sitting in the seat you're in right now to worship God. And as you lift your voices to God, you do that because of what God has done for you. Here's another amazing thing. We'll cover this more in detail later when we talk about music worship. But the Bible says this, as a child of God, God sings over you. Is that not crazy? Can you imagine hearing that? As he thinks about all of his children in the world and he sings over us. It's almost like this musical blessing. Just being poured out through his voice to you. That's mind-boggling. God would take the time to sing over me? I'm a wreck. Does he not know who I am? Has he not seen my life lately? Does he not see my fears, my doubts, everything that I do that I shouldn't do, I don't want to do, but like Paul, I do, and the things I want to do, I don't do? No, he doesn't. He doesn't see any of that. He sees Jesus. He sees his son. And he sings over you. So as we do life, and as we understand God and who God is, may we come to worship. It's like I said last week during communion. Sometimes we just take the name of Jesus and we use it so flippantly in prayer. Especially when we pray over food, right? Because we want to get to the food. And you know, there's way too much power in the name of Jesus to be using it flippantly. Every time we say the word Jesus, you should be thinking about your Savior. It's just not this thing that comes out of your head like another word, baseball. No, no, no. This is the Son of God who gave his life for you, Jesus. So when we worship, there's some words here. Hope I spell them right. Did I spell it right? Reverent. Boy, we haven't heard that word in a long time, huh? With God. Approaching God with reverence. To be reverent in the way that we approach God. To understand who we are approaching. Another word that's important in approaching God. Humility. We are nothing without God. Nothing without God. We are to be reverent and we are to be humble. See, when you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus came to this life. He was, the word is incarnated. He was made flesh. He came from heaven so that we might have life. And so that we might have a relationship with God in such a way that we have power in our life because we have understanding about God. And when we approach God, we come to God reverently. And we come to God in humility. And in that, there is power. Let's go ahead and pray. In a few moments here, we're going to be closing out our service with three songs. You know, as we look at the Word of God, and we come here first and foremost to worship God, to carve out some time in the week where we come out on Sunday, which is the Lord's Day. Every Sunday is the Lord's Day. Because it's when he rose from the grave. It's the Lord's Day. Every Sunday you can come in here, guys, and have Easter. Every Sunday. But during the week, as commanded by God, we carve out this time. And we come. We have got to know why we are coming. I mean, we move to the new building. Guess what comes back? The coffee bar. Do we come for coffee? And we haven't seen people in a week or two, or maybe we're out of town, so we come back and we reconnect with people. Do we come to reconnect with people? Now, as we do life together as a body, we have to do it with understanding, recognizing that the number one thing we do on Sunday morning is come to worship God corporately, thanking him for all that he has done, seeing him for who he is, understanding our calling in life and the power that he wants to pour into your life. And all these other things are part of it, from children's ministry to youth ministry to missions to the coffee bar. It's kind of just all part of it. But it all leads to one thing, and that is that we worship God. God sings over you because he loves you. And then he says, sing praises to me. Because if you draw close to me, I will draw close to you. And that is why we are here. Lord, thank you for all the truth, for everything that you teach us. May we never take for granted truth. May we not be afraid to dig into the Word of God. May we choose not to lead superficial Christian lives. May we understand that this life we live is not a game. It is an act of worship. And in that, our goal is to share the gospel to lead people back to you. We have made this thing so much of what it was never intended to be. And we have taken it lightly many, many times. We have lost the reverence. We have lost the humility. We've made you our servant rather than serving. May we grow because we know. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.